Thank you very much, Brother Mark Wayne. It's good to be here again this evening. I'd like you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. And our message this evening is the people and the book. Nehemiah, chapter 8, we're reading at verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Anani, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah. On his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Melchah, and Hashem, and Hashab, Nam, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benai, Sheribah, Jamin, Akab, Shepha, Obai, Messiah, Kelta, Azariah, Jobad, Anna, Peliah, Asaiah, Josed, Anna, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave sense and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah, who is the Tertia, and Ezra the priest, scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the seventh day were gathered together the heads of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities, and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the houses of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the street of the gate Ephraim, and all the congregation of them who were come again out of captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. And also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. The Lord will bless the reading of his precious and holy word. The French author Victor Hugo said over a century ago, England has two books, the Bible and Shakespeare. England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England. Historians tell us that that era was indeed an era known as an era of the book. The book they refer to is the book, the Bible. When the Pilgrim Fathers arrived in America, they brought with them a reverence, a love for the Word of the Living God. An American statesman by the name of Daniel Webster said this, "It is not to be doubted that to the free and universal reading of the Bible is to be ascribed in that age that men were indebted for right views of civil liberties." President Woodrow Wilson said this, one of the presidents of the United States of America, "America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scriptures." Now, I don't know whether today the Bible is making any nation. But I know this, that when I read the book of Nehemiah, and when I read about God's ancient people who dwell in that little land of Palestine today, a people who have been persecuted, a people who have been punished, a people who have been almost annihilated and exterminated, and but for the God of the people, they would be annihilated. There would not be the nation of Israel today. But there are people who is the apple of God's eye, a people that God had made promises to Abraham, and God has kept those promises, and a people that still today, if you touch them, you be careful that you will know the wrath and the indignation of Almighty God. They were a people of the book. Let me say it again. I don't know if any nation is being made by the book today. In fact, a far cry from it. But Israel. Israel, that nation that was God's chosen people, was made by the book. And when they followed the word of God, they knew the blessing of Almighty God. And when they disobeyed the word of God and the instructions of God's word, God allowed the enemies to come in and defeat them, take their children captive, break down the walls of their city, burn the gates of their city, take them away captive to heathen lands where there was no worship of God. And pretty soon, many of them forgot that there was a word of God. Beloved, we're living in a day when there is a famine for the word of God. Not in Russia, but in the Western world, there's a famine in men's hearts for the word of God. David could say it, and rightly so, and it needs to be said by all of us even today, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." This book will keep us from sin. That's not to be applied only to the weak. That's not only to be applied to the unregenerate people. But that is the word of God for me. That is the word of God for every one of us. This book will keep me from sin. And sin will keep me from this book. When God's people get away from the book, here's what happens. They get away first from loving the book. They get away from reading the book. And they get away from obeying the book, the Word of God. And when God's people get away from loving and reading and obeying the Word of God, they lose the blessing of God. The blessing of God comes through His Word. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things." There is no blessing outside of Jesus Christ for those of us in the church. God blesses through His eternal Son, who is God and was God manifest in the flesh. He starts that blessing by first those who turn to Him in their sin, and those who come to Him having heard the Word of God. That's where blessing starts in a man's life. It doesn't start anywhere else. It starts by hearing the Word of God. And the Bible says it like this, Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And so this evening, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, a good place to start to seek God is in His Word. Because if you're going to know Jesus Christ, you're going to find Him through the Word of God. The Spirit of God doesn't work through the comic books. The Spirit of God doesn't work through Webster's Dictionary. It doesn't work through Strong's Dictionary. But it works through the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We must delight in the Word of God. Beloved, there has to be that blessing come into our lives, that desire, that confession before God that we have lost our love for the Word of God. And there has to come that experience of loving, of desiring the Word of God more than our daily food, if we are going to know the blessing of God spiritually. Israel had known the blessing in material things. God had sent a man, God sent a message one day by one of His brethren to Nehemiah, who was not among the people, but Nehemiah was working for a king, a foreign king, had a good job, was doing well. And when he heard that the gates of Jerusalem had been burned, when he heard that the walls had been broken down, when he heard that the glory of God had been affected, Nehemiah volunteered to go and to be a leader, volunteered to go and motivate the people to get the walls built up, because Nehemiah cared about the glory of God. And Nehemiah knew that if the people were protected, if the people had the walls built and the gates were up and the bars were up, then Nehemiah knew that the people then would be able to worship God and turn their hearts towards God. You know, it's interesting that one of the things that happened to these people along the way from chapter 1 to chapter 8 is this, that when Nehemiah got the walls built up and got the gates already all straight, they had a practice that still on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, which was the Sabbath, they would open the gates and they would let these merchants come in and do business. Nehemiah called an assembly and he said, as of this day, that those gates are going to be barred. On the Lord's Day, the day that we worship, there's going to be no business. Tell them business is out. Tell them to stay back in their cities. Because you see, many of the people, these nobles and others, they had become friends. Some of them, their children had married back there. And their family was all tied up and mixed up with the world. And now they're coming in and they were coming and bringing their wares. They were bringing their merchandise. They were setting up a swap shop every Sunday. The Lord's Day. It was Sabbath, the Sabbath day. And what Nehemiah told them was this. And what they learned here in chapter 8 is this. They learned that God's Word had said that they were to worship God and to worship Him only. They were not worshiping when they were down in these foreign lands. Beloved, there is no book that we have in this world. I have a library. I have a number of books. Many of you have libraries, number of books. But there is no book like the Word of God. But this Word of God can only be paper, beloved, if I do not take this word and imbibe it into my heart, if I don't make this a daily habit of reading this book, of obeying it, of saying to God as I meditate upon it, dear God, I want to know what Your Word says. I want to be an obedient Christian. I want to bring glory to You. The utmost desire of my heart and my life is to bring glory to You. I want to build character. I want to build principles in my own life. Beloved, principles in our children, in ourselves, will never be built outside of the Word of God. Education is good. Every child, every person ought to have a good education. But that will not build the principles that is desired to make them men and women of God. I like what it says about that, something that Nehemiah said about his brother in chapter 7. And I gave my brother Hananiah the rule of the palace charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. I'll tell you, that's a good statement, and I would trust that when men speak of us, that's what they'll say. More than that, oh, he's the richest man in Spanish Wells, or that he did this or did that, but that he was a faithful man to God. That's what he was talking about. Because you see, God had been faithful to them in allowing them to get the materials they needed. God had protected them as God had given them a plan through Nehemiah, where they held a sword in one hand and a trowel in another, and they dug the stones up that had been knocked down. They brushed them off. They got the mortar. They put them in the wall. They built the walls. They went out into the forest. They cut the timber. They built the gates. They made the gates. They put the bars up, and now the city had been protected. Nehemiah set a guard. He set a watch all around. That was the material thing. And after God has blessed us with all the material things, then what? Then you call a Bible conference, is what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah says, now we're going to focus on spiritual things, and that's what chapter 8 is all about. You say, but aren't there biblical principles all the way through these chapters, over from chapter 1 through chapter 7 before you get to chapter 8? There are biblical principles that apply to my life and apply to all of our lives continually all the way through. The gospel is seen all the way through it. But when you come here to chapter 8, Nehemiah begins with the word of God to show Israel how that God has blessed them materially. Now it is their responsibility to obey God and obey His word and to bring glory to His name by worshiping Him, by giving of their tithe, and by being a good witness and a good example and just bringing glory to God as God had intended, the Shekinah glory that had rested there at one time. Ezra and Nehemiah put the word of God first in the life of the city. I'll tell you, beloved, that these are two men that you and I can follow. They can be our examples because what they do is, number one, from chapter 1 through to chapter 7 to chapter 8, you'll discover that Nehemiah, every decision he made was according to the word of God. He knew the mind of God for every single thing he does. Is that not an example? Does that not speak? Is that not a sermon to Luton Neely? Does that not say to me that there are so many times and I forget to say, Lord, when do I go? Lord, when do I stand? Lord, when do I sit? Because as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am His servant, and I am to take orders from Him. My marching orders come from Him. And so they put the book, the Word of God, before everything else. Now, it's interesting that it says that they set up this conference before the water gate. We mentioned the water gate as one of the gates that was repaired. We mentioned this, beloved, that when it came to the water gate, that the water gate was that gate for washing. It was not the gate that, it was not the gate that they went out to get water to drink, but it was water for washing, two different types of water. And so here they're set up, here's the great big gate, and they know what it's for. They know it's for water, for cleansing their feet, for washing themselves after you've already been bathed, okay? After you've already been saved, you need the Word of God. This gate speaks of the Word of God. And so this gate, we could say, they set up the conference by the gate, the Word of God. Because that's what it spoke about. And so here's the background, this great big gate. Here's Ezra the scribe standing on a pulpit of wood so he could be standing above the people so the people could see him and so that he could speak forth the Word of God. Because he was not going to speak forth something from some fictional character, something some guy in Hollywood had written, something that somebody in France had made money on. He was going to read from the scroll. They were going to bring out the scroll. And some of us have been to the Wailing Wall, and we have seen them bring those scrolls out. And we'd say it's an interesting thing to see them come and lay the scroll down and see them roll it from one way and roll it the other to open it up as they read. Very interesting. But that was what was brought. Everybody didn't have a copy of the Word of God. The Word of God was scarce in those days, beloved. It was scarce. Not everybody had a copy. But the Word of God that was, it wasn't the New Testament that we have now. A lot of the Old Testament was not in it. But what they had the law of God. They had the law of God. And that law of God was the instruction for them to obey and to glorify God. And so, before the water gate, here they bring the Word of God. It's interesting that many of them, no doubt, had felt that now they had built the walls, that they could settle back and say, we've got it made. We're secure in our own place. We'll make up our own rules and our own regulations. And some of them did that. Some of them wanted to get rid of Nehemiah. Some of them would have liked to have made an alliance with Tobiah, the world. In fact, when Nehemiah went back home for just a little break to visit the king and tell the king, King, look, I told you I'm coming back. I was going for so many days. Thank you so much for helping us. The walls are built up. I want to let you know what's happening. They let Tobiah, that speaks of the world, into the chamber where they kept the offering of the temple. And when Nehemiah came back and he found out, Nehemiah took him and threw him out. That's what he did. You say, man, that's radical stuff. You're teaching radical stuff. That's what he did. He threw him out. But I'll tell you, secondly, he threw out his stuff. And that tells me that I've got to throw the world out. The world has to go. It has to go. And you see, the more I try to get rid of the world, the more the world tries to crowd in on my life. And the world is giving me more problems than anything else. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And the world works through this flesh, this body of flesh that I'm in. And Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. You know why he was wretched? Simply because that he's in this body of flesh. It's a body of humiliation. And it causes us to be humiliated so many times when we think of how that we ought to be glorifying God in this body. Yet, beloved, we find there's a struggle going on. For the Apostle Paul could say that when I want to do good, evil is always present. And when I want to say something right, evil is always there to make me say something that is wrong. And so he says, I've got to choose between the two. Am I going to pander to the old man? Am I going to feed the old man? Because if I feed the old man, then what will happen is he will be predominant. He will rule in my life. But if I feed the new man, if by the Spirit of God, I feed the new man by the Word of God, this Word of God, I come to the water gate. I must make sure that the water gate is repaired, beloved. And I feed that new man. That's how I grow in Christ. And as I grow in Christ, I'm obeying the Word of God. The Spirit of God becomes very precious. And the Bible says, we read it here, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not just then, it is now, beloved. Right now, this very moment, to every Christian throughout the world, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you're not enjoying the Lord, it's because you're not reading the Word of God. There needs to be a rediscovery of the Word of God. You're talking about Discovery Channel. Every Christian needs a Discovery Channel. I don't know what all the channels I've got in my life, but a lot of channels going different ways, and energy going this way and that way, and attention to this, and attention to that. But I need to instill and bring in a new channel. It's a Discovery Channel. And I'll tell you this, I need to discover fresh truth. I need to make sure that I'm digging down into this Word of God, and I'm getting those stones that are down there that have been lost in the dust, and then brush them off so they become like precious gold, so that they become a part of building block of my life. Because as we build lives, beloved, our community will be strong. Our nation will be strong. Our assembly will be strong. Our families will be strong. Our families will only be as strong as the building blocks that we build with the principles of the Word of the Eternal God. They come from this book. And that's what Ezra knew. And that's what Nehemiah knew. And that's why Nehemiah calls this solemn assembly, calls it before the water gate, lets the people face the water gate. They know what the water gate is all about. And they're going to understand that this man, as he reads the Word of God, that they're going to hear from the voice of God. They were not going to hear Ezra. It was not going to be his voice, you see. It was going to be as of the oracle of God. You know what the oracle of God means? Just as if God speaking. Just as if it was God speaking. And I'll tell you what happened, beloved. We must be captivated to the truth of God's Word. There are three basic responses that come when we read the Word of God. There are three basic responses that happens here in this book. Number one is understanding the Word. You find that in verses 1 through 8. Number two, there was rejoicing. You find that in verses 9 and 12. When they understood the Word, there was rejoicing. And there was obeying the Word, verses 13 through 18. The whole person, mind, their understanding was affected. The heart, they rejoice. The will, they're obeying. Every area of my being must be captivated to God's truth. And it must be affected by God's truth. Now, number one, We must understand the Word of God. That's what Nehemiah had as a priority when he brought and made the pulpit and called the people together, was to understand the Word of God. There is not a preacher that stands in this pulpit only but his heart's desire is that as he proclaims the truth of the Word of God, that the people will understand the Word of God. And there is not one who stands here only what does it humbly before his God and understands that he is not a worthy servant but for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he doesn't deserve to handle this Word of God, to speak about what this Word means, to say what God says here in truth, to try to interpret by the Spirit the mind of God, because we are so limited. And when we try to interpret the mind of God, beloved, how can I ever delve into the mind of God? You say it's simple for babes. Beloved, this Word of God is only understood by the Spirit. This Word of God is only understood by the Spirit. The carnal mind cannot understand the Word of God. It's only the person who received the Lord Jesus Christ and who obeys the Lord Jesus Christ and loves the Word of God and comes to the Word of God and says, Lord Jesus, I want you to make me whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. I want my life to glorify you. And so the first thing is this, we must understand the Word of God. You see, the Bible is not a magic book. Some people think that because they read the Word of God, that it can just change them automatically. God's Word must be understood. This is why the pounding, the preaching, God's Word is like a hammer. To the unregenerate man, it's like a hammer. And that's why it's proclaimed and it's preached and he hears it over and over again. And then one night, one day, sometime, all of a sudden he says, I understand it. I see light. I know that the light has dawned upon my soul because, you see, it's the understanding of the Word of God. The believer must understand the Word of God. The Word of God must be understood before it can enter into the heart and before it can be released so that the life can be changed. That power has to be released. There has to be the understanding, the receptiveness, the entering in of the Word of God into my heart and into my life. And then the releasing of that dynamic power and might of the Word of God. Now you'll find this, beloved, that six times in this chapter, the word understanding is used. Six times over. Verses 2, verse 3, verse 7, verse 8, verse 12, and verse 13, you'll find that the word understanding, because it is important that I understand the Word of God. You say, do you understand the Word of God? Listen, I'll tell you this. I believe that that's going to be one of the joys of eternity, to be able to revel in what the truth of God is, of what God's Word is, to understand this book. There's no human being, no one ever lived, who can ever say he understands this book, because this book speaks of God. This book tells me who God is. Do I understand who God is? I understand something of who God is, but beloved, God is so great and so mighty. When I begin to go into thinking about Him, it blows my mind. I have to stop because I get a headache, because I go so far. I read a verses like in the year that King Uzziah died. The prophet says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. When I begin to think about that, His train filling the temple, that blows my mind. That what that does, it puts a blank in my mind. All of a sudden, I get to a solid wall, and I said, Lord, I can't go beyond this. It's too much. You're too mighty. You're too awesome. You're too great. You're too powerful. And when I try to understand the working of God in salvation, how Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame, I can't understand how the mighty God would condescend to take upon Himself human flesh and be born to a woman. I'll never understand that. If you find somebody who understands, or if you understand, I'll be glad to give you an audience. I'd be glad for you to come and share with me. I'll tell you this, you can understand some things. You can understand a lot more than I understand. There are truths, beloved, to be dug up. We need to build the wall of our lives. There are hidden truths of God's Word. This is why we need to keep repaired the old gate. There are a lot of people who say, shut it up. Well, you only shut up one gate. There's only one gate that I know that's closed in that city. And I was there last November. And I'll be there, Lord willing, again this November with 52 Bahamian pilgrims. And let me tell you, it's only the eastern gate. That's sealed up. But the other gates, they're open. They're wide open. The old gate was repaired. It has to be repaired. Because you see, there are a lot of people who throw a lot of trash, and they'll throw a lot of stuff on it. If you ain't careful, you don't keep that old gate open, that old gate. There are some principles, beloved, of the Word of God that are foundational. We must stand by those things. Today we're getting a lot of people who say, throw the hymn book out. And they say, throw that version of the Bible out. And they say, throw other things out. And before you know it, we've got a brand new religion. I don't know what it'll be, Hare Krishna or something else, but it could be something that'll rise up. That's what happens when you start throwing these things out, right? You get Hare Krishna, or you get the Mohammedans, or the Seventh-day Adventists, or the Jehovah's Witness, or something else, when you start throwing away the Word of God. But while God's people were disobedient to the Word of God, Nehemiah was a servant of God who knew that. And so what he says to Ezra the scribe, and Ezra was an ideal man. Ezra was a priest. And Ezra was one of them who wrote the Word of God. I always say this when I'm preaching from this portion of Scripture, that he didn't choose anybody to read the Word of God. And I'm never saying that I'm a fit candidate to read the Word of God. I delight to hear the Word of God read distinctly and clearly. I delight to hear the Word of God read. I'll tell you this, I delight more in hearing the Word of God read than I delight in any preaching that I know. I trust you do too. Because you see, this Word of God is more important than anything Luton Neely will say. What I say is going to be according to this Word, beloved. This Word is important. This is all important when it comes to spiritual matters. But he chose Ezra the scribe, and it says he brought the book. Ezra brought the book. You've got to have the book. They brought in the first day of the seventh month. It was the Day of Atonement. And the book that Ezra brought was the book of the law. That's what he brought. But secondly, he not only brought the book, but he opened the book. He lifted that scroll, and here the people were assembled together, and they began to unroll the passages and the pages. And they'd unroll one and he would read it. And the people were all seated in the square. And in honor to the Word of God, when he began to read the Word of God, they stood up. They stood up. Oh, they'll stand up in baseball stadiums and football stadiums. They'll stand up and shout for the team. But in reverence and honor, they couldn't sit. They stood to their feet. Not that they would get any thrill themselves, but they stood as a testimony to what God's Word was, and they were honoring the Word of the living God. And the third thing is this. Ezra read and explained the book. The common people didn't have their own copies, and so they didn't understand the book. And so Ezra read it. We must rejoice in the Word of God, beloved. According to these words here, the people, they were mourning and they've been grieving when they heard the Word of God, when they heard the Word of God read, and they realized that they had not been obeying it. And they realized that all the tragedies that had come into their lives, every single one had come because of disobedience to the Word of God. Every time that they had been taken captive, every time their children, their wives had been raped, had been because they had failed to listen to what God's Word had said. And God had taken them away, allowed them to be taken away captive. And now they are weeping. They're weeping, they're broken. And the prophet says, rejoice! This is a new day. The Word of God brings conviction, somebody said, and leads to repentance. But it also brings us joy. Brings us joy. I go back to 1967, and I remember those nights. I'll remember them as a memorial to the salvation of God for the rest of my days. And I'll never tire of talking about them, of being here and the services going on for 2 hours, and finally unsaved people sitting in the meetings and couldn't move, and they'll stand up and break down and say, I'll receive Jesus Christ. And somebody will say, I got one more in my family. And they'll start singing, Oh Happy Day That Fixed My Choice. On Thee, My Savior and My God. We've gotten into two sophisticated times. Maybe we'll never see that again, beloved. I'll tell you, I'll never get tired of remembering it, of rehearsing it, of letting it affect my life, because I, as a young man, I know that God touched my life in 1967, and I'm not sure that I'll be here this evening if it wasn't for 1967. And the mighty moving of an almighty God, He did it through His Word, beloved. He did it through His Word. That's how God works. And the people would weep, but then there was joy. There was joy the next morning all around town. They were talking about the people who were saved the night before. When they left the chapel, the count might have been 25 that night. By next morning, it was 35 because 10 more had accepted Jesus Christ during the night. The Word of God was precious in those days. The Word of God brings conviction. It isn't enough for us to read or recite the Word of God. We must obey it. We must delight in it. We must obey the Word of God. There's an obligation for us to appreciate the Word of God. And we need to celebrate what we know of God's Word. That's what He told them. He said, I want you to go and the booths. You said, what's about these booths? Well, what the booths was to remind them of where they came from. Do you think that we need to be reminded in Spanish Wells and around the Western world where we came from? Any of us living anywhere around here got to know that we got to be reminded. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you just need to go and live in a hut somewhere. Because God has blessed us so much, we have so much. Sometimes we start to think in those things and dwell in those things. And once a year, God said, I want you to come out of those houses of yours. I want you to build a booth. I want you to build a little hut and I want you to live in it. And I want you to realize that what you have, God gave to you. God gave you everything you have. And yet they had forgotten that. We read these words. It said that, for since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness when they did. When they were reminded that God had brought them across the Red Sea. God had brought them through the desert. And God allowed them to have houses to live in. God allowed them to have families. God had defeated their enemies time and time again because they had been facing the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it was God who was doing it for them. God had saved them by His mighty arm. And now they were going to do what God said. And that's what chapter 8 is all about. There's a call to come back to the book. Do I need that in my life? I guarantee you, every day I find that more and more things are crowding into my life. Tomorrow morning at 6, I have to be up and catching a flight back to Nassau to go to Sandilands to deal with a situation we were dealing with last week. And I'll put a Bible in my bag. If I get 10 or 15 minutes, it'll be amazing. I say, well, I'll get time on the flight and before I know it, I'm asleep. And I say, well, I'm driving up in town or on the taxi or something else. And before you know it, things have crowded the day out. Because the devil don't want me to read this book. He don't want me to study the book of Nehemiah. He don't want me to get these principles that God has laid down in His Word. He don't want the book, the Word of God, to be precious in my life. He don't want me to glorify God through His Word. Beloved, God wants us to glorify Him more than anything else. The unsaved, they will see Christ in us through His Word. But the book, the Word of God, it will not help anybody if it's just left on the shelf. Let us honor God, beloved, by determining that this book is going to be more precious to us than anything else in this world. And we're going to obey the principles of God's Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word this evening. We pray Your blessing upon Your people, Father. We thank You for the people of God that have left us this example. They failed. They acknowledged their sin. And they were in favor with God and brought glory to God. Lord, we're a failing people. From all of us, evangelists, elders, deacons, choir members, all of us together as a congregation, Lord, we fail You. But Father, we come this evening pledging that the Word of God is going to be more precious to us. This book is going to be the book that we live by. We're going to dig back into the Word of God and we're going to take those stones that have been knocked down, that have been cast aside. We're going to dig those gems, those precious truths, and we're going to build character in our lives. We're going to build for the glory of God. We're going to build lives. We're going to help others to build. We pray Your blessing upon us in Jesus.